we are so glad to have everyone here today. Easter is such a special day. In fact, it's the most special day as Christians. Without Easter, we are not here. Without Easter, we do not do what we do. We would not be here. None of us would be here. But God has done something special through his son, Jesus. Before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who loves us completely, who has brought us together so that we can know you, so we can follow you. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Bless this time we have together. May you do a great work in us and through us. May you receive all the glory. We are so grateful, Lord, for this time. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. It comes from Matthew chapter 27. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. What? They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Easter comes from the word, actually, east. Easter is something we celebrate, if you will, by looking to the east. Every great cathedral, most, if you will, grave sites, all point to the east. Why? Because we believe when Jesus returns, it'll be like the dawn of a new day. And we want to be ready. We want to be facing the right direction, if you will. And so east, if you will, is the time we celebrate what Jesus did. Easter is so much more than, don't get me wrong, I love jelly beans. Starbursts are my favorite. It's not good. But they're really good jelly beans. But the reality is it's so much bigger than candy. It's so much bigger. It's changed everything. A couple things I just want to point out that I thought were just very interesting for our time is this thing called the temple was a place where heaven and earth met. That they believed that's where God resided. And that's where he was known. But when Jesus died, it broke apart, if you will, the separation that he actually goes on to say later, that I'm going to be inside you. That wherever you go, I go. That there's no place you can go without God already there. Bathrooms, yes. The places you don't want God to see you, yes, he's there. The places that are just the most amazing, beautiful, captivating, take your breath away, yep, he's there. You never have to pray, actually. God, would you please be there? He's already there. But he does something different here. He says, no more. And it doesn't get ripped from the bottom to the top. It wasn't like there was a rebellion and they said, that's it. We're done with this. No. God was doing something new. Later, he goes on to say, if you will, the writer, the earth shook. They're going to have a little earthquake. The rock split and the tombs broke open. Huh. Things are different. Jesus' death has changed their reality. Jesus' death is causing something that just seems so odd. And don't get me wrong. Back then, dead people stayed dead too. It's crazy, I know. Like, wait a minute. No. They really did. And so this is a really radical thing. They had hope. They had believed. They had trusted that there would be a one time, at the end of time, resurrection. Resurrection doesn't mean when we go to heaven. Resurrection is when Jesus returns and we are transformed in new bodies and we reside with the Lord forever. We reign with him. We live with him. But these bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. What is going on here? And get this, don't miss this. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection. Raised to life? In a tomb for 3 days. What is going on here? No other of the narratives of our gospel stories have anything of this. And yet this here, the writers wanted us to know that his death was already raising people to life. His death was changing what they understood, who God was and what he was doing. I call it the walking dead. Can you imagine Brother Joe, who you buried last year, comes walking in, and you're like, what? Do you see Joe? Joe's here. Joe's dead. I know. That's an awkward conversation. Could be a great time, but that's got to be a little awkward. And yet, what is going on here? The Easter story, don't miss this, ends not with a funeral, but with a family celebration. Good Friday is good only because it doesn't end on Friday. Good Friday is the day when Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross. He gave it all. Not because God forgot him, but because God said, you can't take it, humanity. I'm going to put the whole weight, the darkness, the brutality of this world, the evil of this world, on him. Because he's the only one that can handle it. And we're going to suffer together so that we can be together. So that we can have a relationship. He wants to have a celebration. See, Jesus was the first fruits of this resurrection. This resurrection, again, is again when Jesus returns from the dead. Heaven, by the way, is not the end of the world. That's a pun. Heaven is not the end of the world. Heaven is when we will be with the Lord forever. It's where the Lord is, his domain. And so heaven coming here on earth in Jesus at the resurrection. And so here, if you will, is this promise that was talked about several times by several people throughout the Old Testament. I like to say part one. He says it like this in Isaiah. But your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. The earth will give birth to her dead. See, Jesus' history is the world's destiny. His resurrection is our promised future. Don't miss this. This isn't just something when we die we should be concerned about. This is something that should affect us right here, right now. This is something that should help us live our everyday lives. This resurrection isn't just about going to another place. It's about Jesus living in us and walking with us right here. If he's stuck in the tomb, we got nothing. If he's stuck in the tomb, then we're just twiddling our thumbs playing games. Ezekiel says it like this, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. Wait for it, this is a good one. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know. Then you will know. We hope for it now. We trust in it now. We'll know then that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. This was a common and trusted belief that there was going to be a resurrection. But again, at the end of time, when God was done, not in the middle of history. And so Jesus rising from the dead changed everything again. Let me put it like this. Death died when Christ arose. If he couldn't die and overcome that, how are we going to have any hope to overcome it? But Jesus' death and resurrection enables us to face anything we got, anything that comes around the corner, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the tax guy says, no matter what our loved ones say, that we can have hope. We can trust in him, that he is enough, that he wants to walk with us, in us, and through us every step of the way. We don't go it on our own. But this was a common belief that God was going to resurrect at the end of time. And so these people that came to life came in their old bodies and died again. I would love to see like that tombstone thing, you know, died 32 AD, died 47 AD. Like what? Like, okay, they shared, like, what's going on with the group? But the reality is his death changed everything. You ever wondered why the angel rolled away the stone? Maybe you don't know that part of the story, but in one of the accounts we have that the angel rolls away the stone. It wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let us in, that maybe we got to see it to believe it. We got to check this out. Where is this guy? Dead people stay dead again. They expected that to happen. They thought he failed. And his failure was the greatest success God could ever have. Paul says it like this. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He has committed to us this message of reconciliation. Reconciliation, that we're not just forgiven. Forgiven is huge and that's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But forgiveness is just one step in being fully reconciled. Reconciled, you have a full relationship. Total trust, complete support, unconditional love. Dealt with the sin, dealt with the bad, dealt with the evil, dealt with all that's wrong, and says, I got this. The message of reconciliation is for us to know the Lord, and he's given it to us to tell others about it. I love that the Bible, it talks about stuff that just doesn't, like, we wouldn't do it. Like, what if you're going to make something up, you don't include all the bad stuff, right? You don't include the things that make you don't look good. Here's what the writers do, and I doubt this happened. I believe this happened, but the writers say that the women were the first ones to discover, and the women go back and tell. Back then, if you were a lady, this isn't today, I understand, don't be offended, but back then, if you didn't have, if you will, two or three women to be a witness, then we got to get this checked out for ourselves. Your word wasn't good enough. But the writers say, no, their word just fine. Scriptures say, nope, they've been made in God's image, and they're the first ones to share the hope with others. First people to hear about it, don't believe them. We're going to go check for ourselves. We probably wouldn't believe it either. Come on. Guess what? Totally outside of what they expected. Let me say it like this. The cross represents our greatest no's. The no's we have told God over and over again. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I don't want to do that. No, you're not good enough. No, Lord, why didn't you? It represents our greatest no. And yet for God, it became the greatest yes. All of our no's to God are swallowed up in the great yes of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I like to look at it, if you will, from a different angle. Here's another way of saying it. God's yes to life is louder than death's no. When you think there's just no hope, know that the one who has been sent from the one who has passed through heaven and hell, the one who has taken upon everything so that we could know the one who made us, though know the one who loves us, we can give it all to him. We can turn to him and say, Lord, I give it back to you. All my junk, all my struggles, I give it to you. And he says, I've been waiting for that. You didn't have to get all dressed up for today. Some of you guys, you look really sharp. You look good. Tie, I haven't seen John in a tie, I don't know if ever. Like, pants even. Like, that's big. It's Easter. Come on. Huh? The reality is, it's not about that. We know that. It's a special day. We love that. But it's about us coming into a relationship with Jesus. It's all about that. Whether I have a robe and a stole or not, it's about a relationship. It's about knowing who is the one that controls the future, who is the one true king, who is the one who is coming to bear. I don't know where you're at with this. I don't know where you came from today. I don't know if this is a once a year thing, you come twice a year thing, or maybe you come every week. But I can promise you this, God loves you completely. And he has a purpose for your life. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be known by him. He wants to know you. Ever wondered why God asked us to pray? This is a whole ADD moment. I know I take medication, but apparently it's not working that well this morning. You ever wonder why God wants us to pray and he invites us to pray? I mean, it's not like he doesn't know what we want, right? Or know what we need, even. I mean, he knows all. Maybe he just wants to spend time with us. Maybe he just wants you to know him better. I wonder sometimes if he actually, maybe, because he can do anything, maybe he just says, I'm going to just forget what I already know so I can hear it for the first time from them. I don't know. But I do know he loves talking with you and listening to you. He's a creator of the universe, and yet he knows your name. He knows everything about you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I know Miss Beatrice is saying, I don't know any ugly, but it's true. We all have some ugly. And he's the one who says, come. In a few moments, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, communion. It's a time for us to celebrate with all the saints throughout the ages. The invitation that says, come, celebrate, drink deeply, know me, know what I'm doing in you and what I want to do through you. And so I ask you to prepare your hearts, while we pray now, that you would just be open to what the Lord wants to do in you this morning. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your generosity in Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. We don't deserve it. And yet you say, come. You love us unconditionally. Your yes is so much louder than death's no. Help us to trust in you, that you're big enough for whatever we're facing. And Lord, may you transform us more and more into the sons and daughters you imagine us becoming. Thank you for every person here. We pray that you would truly bless us to be your family. Thank you for the opportunity to come and praise you and thank you. And Lord, we trust in you with all the junk, all the struggles, all that is that we're facing. We ask that you would move, especially in those areas where we need you desperately. We pray for our leaders of our world. We pray for our country. We pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom, favor, and humility. Transform their hearts, Lord, that they may serve and walk with you. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, the church universal. We ask that you would bless us more and more with your spirit so that we may be light in the darkness. Thank you, Lord, for this special day. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.